Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week, returning King Cole gets his goal as Chelsea win a must win 2-0 versus Everton. I'm here with my good friend Brady, both at the game yesterday. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I mean, he put on Instagram, didn't he, that he was going to return and make things right, and kind of did immediately. It was a bit, wasn't the best atmosphere at the ground yesterday. The first 10 minutes, a bit very nervy, a bit very flat. I mean, very kind of cliche to say that, but very flat. But he got the team going on a day that was very tricky. So it's great to have him back. And even though we only got to see 58 minutes, it's like Maresca said in the presser afterwards, it's, you know, you've only played 20-30% of the game this year. So yeah, it's good to have him back.
Yeah, that was only the second time we've seen Cole Palmer play at Stamford Bridge in almost 7 months. So it's almost like a treat for us to watch him, and it definitely was a treat. He was really good yesterday, and we'll talk about his return and what it means for the team as we go forward here. Just quick run through the stats from the game yesterday. Chelsea with 58% possession to Everton's 42, 2.2 expected goals versus Everton's 1.03. Did have a couple of chances, Everton, three big chances for them, five big chances for Chelsea, most of which fell to Garnacho, who I'm sure will crop up later on in the pod as well. Give me a like from yesterday. Let's start positive.
I think you're just starting to see some glue in the team, especially when the first team is there, you've got a lot of players who are just there, like James, Fofana, Cucurella, Palmer, Caicedo, to a certain extent Enzo, although he wasn't great yesterday, but he was obviously very tired. Savin Sanchez, you can put in that now. He's got 9 clean sheets now this year. You've got, I wouldn't say it's a spine, but you've got a bit of a nexus of the team to work from. And when that nexus dissolves, into whether that's injury or rotation, that's when the team, you know, collapses. I wouldn't say collapses, but yeah, disimproves or gets a lot worse, or a fair bit worse. So yeah, that's positive. In this age of rotation, I mean, even like you look at a team like Arsenal, another great team against Wolves last night, they have like a fundamental core where, you know, you've got Zubimendi, obviously Gabriel and Saliba at the back, Raya, Rice, Saka. Even though they rotate a lot as well, and they just got that nexus of a team that will just like that kind of league winning or, you know, elite team. So yes, it's good that we're kind of starting to develop that.
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly my like as well. It was like best 11 forming ? I mean, the spine, again, is something I've written down as well. I think you can see with the team, and Sanchez was really good again yesterday, that sort of that Sanchez, Fofana, and what is going to be Chalobah right now, but will be Colwill as we go forward. Caicedo, Reece, Palmer, you're starting to see players, Cucurella, that are forming, you know, the basis of what could be a really special team, I think. And you know, that's one of the reasons to be excited. I think Fofana especially, you know, there was some question marks over that centre-back position, but the level he's playing at right now, he's, you know, we'll talk about him in temperatures, or I will anyway. But I think you're absolutely spot on. I think the spine of the team is really starting to come together, and the spine being like really, really strong players as well. You know, top level Premier League players, you know, approaching the best in their position. You know, when we're talking about Reece, Caicedo, Cucurella, Palmer. And you've got to say as well, included in that bracket this year is Robert Sanchez. So, it's exciting for sure. All right, what did you have for dislikes?
Well, I think I was just going to do the opposite of this, where you've got that spine, but it's kind of like the steel of the team. And then you've got this like gooey out a bit, like there's some players who are all right, but they're not great. I mean, I think João Pedro was okay yesterday. I know he scored in Atalanta, but he's gone off the boil a bit. You're not sure where his best position is. Gittens and Garnacho, they've both got talent, but they're a bit wishy-washy. I mean, look, they're young players. They're not going to be coming and plug and play. But you're thinking that kind of left-sided nine. I mean, I think we should probably include, I think probably a bit of your service, probably Neto is in that glue as well at the moment. I think we didn't really give him, he's very good assist yesterday. So he's kind of in that glue as well. And you've got Esteban on that side, who's obviously very promising. But that nine, left wing, maybe backup midfielder a little bit. Like, you know, if Caicedo and Enzo are out, you know, you've got Santos in there, players like that. that's where it's a problem, because it kind of, it is chalk and cheese a little bit. And when we rotate sometimes, and yeah, we, it just feels like other teams are like, oh, I mean, I know they only beat Club Brugge 3-0, but they rotate heavily, have Norgard at the back, and they beat Club Brugge 3-0. Now, I know that Club Brugge aren't a great team, but it just seems that other teams, City and Arsenal, can rotate better than us. They can rotate on their backups a bit more than us. And
I wouldn't include City in that bracket this year. Definitely Arsenal.
Probably. But there is just a clear drop-off in the rotation. It's going to be a year we're going to be rotating a lot because of the Club World Cup. And I think because Maresca just likes to rotate, you know, he likes to keep players fresh. And I think they have this idea that, you know, if you rotate through the season in the home run, you know, the last 3 months, you'll be fresh, where the others will be more tired, and I get that. But we do suffer before that, and there's just a lot of players who are just a bit, I don't like, it's a bit kind of a cliche, a bit like, meh. They're fine. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I was at the game yesterday. I know, you know, we're going to talk about the players, but there's players who you can't say they're poor players, but you can't say they're just in the middle, they're okay, and for where we're at and where we want to be, it's just a bit of an issue.
Yeah, I think my dislike was just the atmosphere at the game. I mean, I know you talked about the
awful, yeah,
the first 10 minutes as we started, but I think the atmosphere in general was just appalling, really, at the game. And it's been so in stark contrast to the recent home games: Liverpool at home, Barcelona at home, Arsenal at home. Well, the atmosphere has been absolutely unreal. But it's crazy, yeah, that it's so polarizing. It's either absolutely brilliant or terrible. Those, yeah, are the two. There's never like a decent atmosphere at the game. And obviously Chelsea are winning 2-0. It's a really important game yesterday. There was nothing from the, yeah, fans at all. And obviously I'm one of them in the ground every week. But it's got to fall on us. We've got to find a way. And to be honest, I was really sceptical about the singing section,
yeah,
when it came in for the Conference League games last year. But I think it's brilliant, actually. I've completely flipped my idea of it, and the Barcelona game where the singing section was there was made so much better because of the singing section as well, and I think that has to be a permanent feature in the ground going forward, because we have to find a way for the people that want to sing in the ground, because I think the problem is they're all dotted around the ground. People, yeah, that want to sing and create an atmosphere are all mixed in with people that just want to sit and enjoy the game, and that's fine. There's no pressure on anyone to enjoy a game in a different way than they want to. But I think we could get a group together, especially in the Shed and the Matthew Harding, that want to just sing and stand for the whole game. And, yeah, and it's important to group them all together. And I think that singing section is actually a really, really good way of doing that, despite me being skeptical of it. So, yeah, hopefully, I mean, we find a way to
you're always biased, but Chelsea away support's always been pretty good, I think. I mean, when you watch them on TV, they're always pretty loud. And you always get kind of... every away fan support is going to be there because they're the loyalists. But yeah, I agree. I think the atmosphere was terrible yesterday. There's like Christmas coming up. I mean, look, and you can't blame like tourists and things like that. And I sit in the Matthew Harding end, and to be honest, it's a very, I have to say this in delicate, we're a very aging fan base. There's a lot of guys who are like, you know, mainly guys. I mean, I don't usually like to discuss. Obviously, 95% of the stadium, 90% of the stadium is male. It's a lot, you know, and female, but a lot of nine, you know, 60, 70-year-old guys who are just not really getting up and singing, you know, their heyday of being a vibrant supporter in terms of singing and getting up is gone. And that's fine. Like, they paid a lot of money for the club, that they deserve to come to games, obviously. But, you know, my dad's a Celtic fan, and they have a ultra section, which is controversial a bit because they do some other stuff that's not that great, but and they put like the Palestinian flag up and, well, they did do a lot of political stuff, and that's the Celtic, but they literally have 3,000 people singing the whole time, like St Mirren at home. It's incredible. Like, literally beating a drum. And if you had, like, even a diluted version of that, that would be amazing. Now, when you have those things, maybe you're going to have a bit of trouble, maybe a bit more guys drinking a bit more, whatever, but I think you've got to pay the price, because yesterday was like a funeral in there. It was awful. And it was a massive game, and it affects me. Like, I was like... It just makes you nervous. It makes you just a bit flat yourself. And
I mean, look, Chelsea started the game quite poorly yesterday, and that obviously is something to. Maresca in his presser actually talked about this, about the atmosphere. He said, you know, it's on the players as well to get the crowd going at the start of the games. And I was expecting us to come out sort of all guns blazing for the first 10, 15 minutes, as we've done sometimes in games, most notably recently at home. And yeah, that was not the case at all yesterday. It was
yeah, but I think, to be honest, like, Palmer's back and scores basically straight away after 20 minutes or whatever it was. And then the fans didn't really react that much. They kind of went back into their kind of, you know, their shell a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Just that was a massive moment. And, we should probably talk about after the game. I think you listened to the presser after the game.
Yeah.
I mean, Maresca just randomly came out with, he was getting questioned about Malo Gusto, and he obviously has something to say. And he went, it's the worst 48 hours I've ever had as a Chelsea coach. I think he's alluding to I think obviously the media pressure a bit. And I think he's probably the schedule. He's not a big fan of the schedule. He kept going about 5 games in 12 days, etc. But I think it was a little dig at the fans. I think he was like, what was that? What was that atmosphere in there? Like rubbish, you know?
Yeah.
And like, he's probably thinking, I'm sure he wasn't expecting it to be bouncing like it was Barcelona and Arsenal. And obviously, Arsenal was different because Taylor was refereeing and we obviously had a sending off and it was Arsenal. So that's going to be different, obviously. Oftentimes the setup of the game can define an atmosphere. Everton was a big game. I mean, weren't we like fifth and sixth in the league? It was a big game. Like, it was honestly like a Carling Cup atmosphere. It was awful. So yeah, got a lot of Chelsea fans got themselves in the mirror, really. Because if you want to be an elite team, you need that 12 person in the stadium guy supporting you.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, Maresca obviously talking about that 48 hours, I do think that is about the fans being a bit more on board with where we're at, because I think we're doing really well this season, all things considered. And that is not the opinion, I don't think, of the fan base overall in general. It's sort of quite mixed, I think. Right, let's talk about the players. Let's do temps.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Okay, Brady, freezer for you. What you got?
A lot of people probably going, I'm going to put Santos in. I know he didn't come on for long, but I don't know what this player is. He just played half an hour in this game. He came on for Palmer, which I didn't love that sub, but he put Enzo in the 10, which I'm not really a fan of either.
Yeah, that worked out really badly for us.
Yeah, I don't know why he's got no legs. He's asking Enzo to press from the 10. I didn't really understand that whatsoever. I would have bought Estevao one person and just straight, or put, I don't know, I could have done something different. But Santos was a player. It wasn't just because he was through on goal and he was through it with left foot and he skied it. I just don't know. I'm not sure what he is. He's almost like a bit of a Loftus-Cheek, where he's basically a utility player for us. You know, he chips, he comes on. You can't see him starting for Chelsea regularly, really, anytime soon, unless maybe Fernandez leaves. And yet, Asugo hasn't been fit either. I mean, I know you've likened him to Conor Gallagher because he's like an elite presser. But, you know, I'm not sure what he is. And like at Strasbourg, he was supposed to be this like buccaneering number 8. And then he's come here and he played in the 10. I know that's not the 8, but he played in more advanced positions against Forest. He looked absolutely woeful. And then, you know, against Burnley, best game for the club by a mile. He kind of looked like a good Caicedo replacement or a backup against Burnley. Really good in the 6, really aggressive. But you don't know where to play him. He don't really. And when he comes on, you're like, oh. I don't know, it is like Loftus-Cheek. It's just like when Loftus-Cheek under Tuchel, just, you know, he'll do any job, put him at right back, or, you know, put him in an 8, put him in a 10, put him, you know, put him wherever. Just, I don't know. I think when you're looking at our financial situation and you're looking at the players, at the moment, I think if Barcelona come in for a bid for him or something like that, I think you just take it. I'm not sure the Premier League is
Barcelona. I don't think Barcelona are going to be interested in Andre Santos.
Well, they've always been interested in him. They wanted him before we bought him. They were sniffing around him. They wanted to loan him straight away when we bought him. They've always been in for him. I've always had a lot of links about Santos and Barcelona. There's a lot of clubs who wanted him. And you know, I think he was like under 21 Brazil captain. There's a lot of hype about this player. I think he's usually in the Brazil squad, but. Yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit of a disservice, but when he comes on, it's like, I mean, he'll start against Cardiff, but that's kind of where he's at, isn't it? And it's like, well, Does he want that?
Obviously, you don't want him anywhere near the team at the moment, do you?
Yeah. And also for him, does he want that? I mean, he's probably quite a talented player. Does he want to be? He can't be doing this for many more years. He'll be like, well, what am I doing here?
Well, so, I think to start with, we've got to give a player a chance to settle. I think obviously he's playing like sporadically limited minutes.
I think you're right, but the third player like Palmer. Okay, Palmer's one of our best players, but like Palmer didn't need to settle, did he? You sold Kyle Palmer straight away. Like I can't. It's like a little bit like with Delap. It's like.
Or, I think there's a big difference, though, in Brazilian young players coming to the Premier
League. Maybe like Jackson, when you guys saw him, it's like, are they ever going to evolve that much? Like, are they ever going to really change from what they are in 4 or 5? Some players do, but not really. Like, you don't... I can't see Andrew Santos being some, like, beast in the Premier League in 2-3. Maybe he will, but I don't know. Like, the main reason I say is because we have so many options in midfield. And I do think we need to invest in the squad in some areas. And I know that money is going to be tight because, you know, UEFA all over us with that, you know, the bans. We've got that.
It's not money, really. It's more the squad registration, I think, for next season.
Yeah. But we've got that historic Abramovich. I mean, I don't think that's going to be very heavy. You've got the Abramovich, you know, that legacy Abramovich. Fine. Hopefully just a fine coming in. Hopefully it won't be too much. But I know the Jackson sale won't go on the books. There's something about that where, because he wasn't in the Europa Conference League squad, that maybe the finances...
It will go on the books, yeah, but he won't count for an extra place next year.
Yeah, so there's a lot... We still need money, right? Because I still think this team needs a big investment. You know, we know that I want us to buy a 9 of some weight next summer. But anyway, I don't know. I couldn't really think of many other players, but he came on and he just didn't. Maybe because it was such an underwhelming sub, maybe he's a bit of a victim of that. But I thought he was poor when he came on again. And other than Burnley, he's been very underwhelming for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, Burnley's the only standout game for Santos. But yeah, he's a young player. I was expecting Santos to come in and be basically this, where he comes on for half an hour every now and again, sort of looks like he's struggling a bit, but can progress. You know, he's a 21-year-old player coming in to play centre mid in the Prem. It's just not easy at all. And also just finding out, I think, a little bit about himself.
I get that, but it's like you're not really seeing any flashes of real quality. It's just like...
Well, I think we saw Burnley that he's elite ball recovery.
But on the ball.
So that is good. That's worth something. That's
like,
you know.
Glasgow, didn't he score like 10 goals last year? I was just thinking, I thought on the ball he was good. Like, he could actually be like a bit of a box crusher and a box to box. He's not like that at all. When he gets in front of goal, he gets a nosebleed a bit.
Like he was good against Wolves away as well.
Yeah, he was good, but I mean, that's Wolves away, I mean.
Yeah, so obviously his best games are against Wolves and Burnley are the two worst in the Premier League. Probably. But, you know, we have to get players to come in and play those games.
I think he's a good player, good talent, but I think sometimes...
All I was expecting from Santos, so maybe my expectancy wasn't as high as yours. I was expecting him to come in, be a rotation piece, to come in and play decently well in some of these like lower-level games.
We just have to think that we're a very high turnover club. A lot of these players are going to get turned over, they're going to get flipped, they're going to move on. Like, we shouldn't get attached to some of these players, like... We've got a big squad, a young squad. And when you've got young squad, a lot of them are going to move on. So, yeah, I just think... I always think when I'm watching the game sometimes from a business point of view, they're thinking, well, maybe we could sell him. So, I don't know. It's just something to think about. Maybe it'll turn up, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to put Maresca in the freezer.
Oh, dear. Really?
And not because this obviously is a take. It's the subs for me in these games right now. We're in December. Yeah. We've got to rotate the squad. We need to give players minutes. Why is Enzo playing 90 minutes in this game? Done. It's just no business playing it. We only used 3 subs in this game. And 3 windows, he made 3 separate subs, 58, 65 and 81. I mean, I just don't get it. I really don't get like why Reece James and Enzo have played 90 minutes in this game. Fofana was like cramping at like 80. I thought he was going to sub him. Fair enough, like you try and get him through the game. But yeah, you've got to use the squad like in these games. João Pedro played 81 minutes. He could have come off at 70, I think. You know, obviously Palmer had to come off in this game. They gave him 60 minutes. Fine, that was all scheduled. But you could have thrown on another sub at that point. I think Hato for Kukure, even at 85. Look, give Kukure 10 minutes more rest.
Give Hato 10 minutes. It's like, also give some of these players a bit of hope.
Yeah, look, obviously these guys are all going to play on Tuesday night against Cardiff. But I'm not happy. Really, really, I really rate Enzo Maresca probably higher than all of us in this in you know, our little group or whatever, I really think he's done a great job and he's been brilliant. But the subs is just one thing for me where you've got five subs. The thing is, if we only had three subs in the Premier League like we used to in the old days, he'd be the first one being like, we want five subs, we need five subs, these guys are tired. So now we've got five subs and then he only uses three. I just don't get that at all. Like, even the last 5 minutes of the game, you've got to max your subs every game. We're in December, we're playing every 3 days. You have to make five subs a game. Yeah, there's barely any teams that aren't doing that. Like, you have to do it.
The outstanding one for me is Mark Guiu. I have no idea why Mark Guiu didn't get any minutes in this game, because he literally stuck Neto up against Tarkowski in the nine, and they started lumping along Chelsea.
That doesn't make any sense, because Neto could do with the rest as well.
What is he doing? Like, he just put Neto in the nine, started lumping it to Tarkowski and Keane, and he's going to lap it up all day. Yeah. Guiu, I know that like, people don't rate Guiu that much, but you've got to remember, when we were at Liverpool 1-1, he brought Guiu on, and he roughed up Van Dijk, and he changed that game, Guiu. Yeah. And I don't think he's like... He could have done that, and it didn't matter. But the reason we were under pressure is because we couldn't hold the ball up. We kept turning it over. I mean, it was a game, actually, I have to say, there's so many unforced errors in that game yesterday. There were so many poor turnovers. I mean, obviously, Everton nearly gave us a goal in the first half. But there are a lot of mistakes in the game, very tired legs or whatever. But João Pedro, he did okay, João Pedro. I think he was okay. But he was done after about an hour, 70 minutes.
And look, I really like Enzo Maresca. I really do. I think he can be one of our best managers. I think he's got a chance with this squad, how talented he is. He can build with it. I think he can be really special, this squad. But yeah, the subs, like,
Garnacho, I thought Garnacho was decent. I mean, look, he was getting in positions.
Well, wait till you hit my warming up.
Yeah, but yeah, he was getting in positions to do things, and he just hooks him, and he just brings Gittins on. Like, Gittins wasn't really going to do anything in that game.
Well, I thought that... So this O'Brien guy that was playing right back for Everton, oh my goodness, he looks like, you know, Sunday league level. Like, he looks so slow as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was fine. But yeah. I think I would have put someone with... I think Gittins with his pace... I thought he was going to create something against O'Brien for sure. He looked so slow, but
I think it goes back to what we spoke about in the like, where he actually has got his nexus of players, his like core of players, and Fernandes is in there, and he doesn't trust the rest. Like, Neto needed a rest from an hour in that game, but he didn't want to bring Estevao on, and because to be fair to him, the first thing Estevao did is he dribbled and he gave it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, He doesn't trust his players to see the game out. And we saw that Everton, they had a gun, they should have scored Everton. But like, he needed that win. And it's that thing of like, I need a win. But, you know, with Hato, he's looking at him thinking, I can't trust you. Like, you know, players like Tosin, Guiu, he doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust them to bring him on. And they'll get their play against Cardiff, but he's going to have to start trusting the players a bit more if he wants to keep the fresh over the season, keep the squad fresh over the season.
Yeah. And obviously, look, that the game on Tuesday against Cardiff, that's a quarter final of the League Cup. It's a decently big game. So all these players that, you know, they're trusted, they will be trusted in that game, I think, to get a result. And Cardiff, obviously, you know, they're not playing like a League Two side or whatever, a really lower level team. They're top of League One. So I think they've got five wins in a row. They're not a bad team at all, and they're not a shocking team. They'll be confident and ready.
One yesterday, 4-3 in the ninth minute of added time.
Wow,
they'll be buzzing.
Yeah, massive, massive game Tuesday. But right, let's talk warming up. I've spoiled mine, but let's talk about Garnacho first. Actually, so Garnacho was warming up for me. I think. He gets a lot of stick, Garnacho, from some people. Some people just for some reason just really dislike this player. But if you watch the game, he's actually such an important player for us. He hit another 0.62 XGA yesterday. Yeah. I mean, it's special. I mean, it's literally like it's approaching the best in the league. I don't know if they've updated FB Ref from after yesterday's game. Let's just have a quick look. But I mean, he touches in the penalty box, shot creating actions, non-penalty XGA. Like, he's like elite level progressive passes received, progressive carries, he's 98th percentile. Like, I mean, if you look to these players, like you're comparing them when they do similar players on FB Ref, on you know, he's up. The similar players for him are Pardo from Lille, Vinicius Junior from Real Madrid, Rashford. Like these are the players. Luis Diaz is in his comps as well, top 10 comps. Like, if you look at just his stats, if you blindfold him at people and like just to look at stats, he's up there with like the top wingers in the league for like his production from an expected point of view. And look, obviously part of that is finishing the chances. I think he was really unlucky with that one down the Matthew Harding end where he decides to shoot instead of crossing it to João Pedro, which I thought was the right thing to do. And obviously he skies it over the bar. But let's say he'd scored that yesterday. I mean, he might have been man of the match. Obviously Gusto was probably man of the match. But like, I mean, he's producing at quite a good level for left wing. And I think warming up is a good place for him, despite, you know, I don't like to be too results orientated. Like, I think he's an important player for the team.
I think it was a bit of a caveat. Off the ball, he's awful. I mean, that O'Brien, you said that was Sunday League player, he was making him look like Cafu at some points, because they were cutting down our right the whole time. And he was kind of moaning a little bit, and it didn't, off the ball, he's awful.
I think that there was 3v2 a lot down that side.
Yeah, for some reason. But like, I agree that, I think, when I go back to the Liverpool game, everything was going through him. And he was part of the reason that Conor Bradley got took off. I mean, the main reason why he got took off. It's not a booking. I'm not sure it was going out cherry foul. But he had Conor Bradley on toast that day, really. And he scores. The thing with Garnacho show that I like is he can score with his left foot. He scored that really good goal in the Carabag. Remember that goal where he drilled it with his left foot? He can shoot with both feet, which is really...
He can
really,
also cut it back with the left foot. That's one of his
really, really good for a left winger. Because obviously... If you've got Gittens, if you show Gittens to his left, I mean, he's just never going to... I mean, unless he proves me wrong, I don't think Gittens has got much of a... He's very right for heavy, right? Very, in terms of shooting. But Garnacho, he's involved a lot. I mean, in the first half, I don't, that chance where he had an open goal, I mean, Tarkowski does quite well to track him, but he should score that, obviously.
Yeah, but you're talking about his off the ball. That was part of his... That's part of the pressing there.
Yeah. No, and look, I think with Garnacho, it's... It's the tattoos, it's the hair, you know.
It's body language as well.
Right, but it's that Man United stigma. Some players are like, well, what's he doing here? But Maresca, he is first choice left winger. He's starting a lot of games. I think he started seven or eight Premier League games. He's fit a lot in terms of when he's fit, he's starting. I mean, he always gets shot, and you're right. With terms of the stats, he's always getting chances, and he shouldn't have passed it. Everyone was like, "You should square it, João Pedro." In the moment, the way his body was facing, he's never going to do that.
No, I mean, João Pedro, and he's not even open, João Pedro, for a pass.
Yeah, and like, yeah, you know, I think his body shape was fine. He just skied it. I agree. I think he will. Even when he was really poor, or when Manchester United were poor, he'd always tick over goals and assists, and I'll be honest, that's all I'm looking for the attackers. We have other players in the team, like Neto, Enzo, other players who can do a bit more of the dog work. When you've got Cucurella on that side, he can cover for him a bit. But if he can get 10 league goals this year, or 8, 9, 10 league goals, or 7, 8, 6, you won't be hearing any complaints from me. Like, just, as long as he doesn't stat pad in, as long as he gets some important goals, because it's important that, these players get important goals, they don't stat pad against the poor teams. But... Yeah.
I think he's running bad with goals. I think he's.
Yeah, I agree. I think he could have had a couple more for sure. I think he'd be very good at winning penalties. I think because on the break when teams are tired, him and Gittens actually. I think that him and Gittens will probably win a couple of penalties this year. But that is part of the game, you know. I think he's fine. And yeah, I mean, you've got Kouenda coming in next year, right? Who's right wing, is he? I keep forgetting. Is he right wing, Kouenda?
He's left-footed winger, yes. But he can play both wings.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that's going to work out. But you have to say that with the squad composition, I mean, one of Neto, Garnacho and Gittens will probably leave in the next 2 years. So it's about performing.
Who's going to perform?
Yeah, it's out of the fittest, really, isn't it? Like, one of those guys will leave because there won't be enough room, basically. So... I have to wait and see what happens. Yeah, I thought he was okay. I'm gonna put Reece James warming up. He just looks really assured as a player.
He's looking super fit right now, Reece James, as well.
The last 10, 15 minutes, he was calming the players down. He was just like, give me the ball. It was like a training drill, you know, at the end. And that's good because we're keeping the ball. Because he knew the team were tired. And his game management, wherever he plays, is so good. He's honestly matured so much as a football player in the last 18, and not in terms of ability, but in terms of his mentality the last 18 months, so much. He's so much of a better captain than he was like a year ago, even. He's amazing as a captain now. Very assured, very strong. You know, he's begging Maresca for minutes. He wants 90. He'll probably be telling me, play me for Cardiff. I mean, he won't, but play me for Cardiff. Like, he wants to play. And, he just so much quality. We know about his qualities, but I want to talk about the mental side because he's been through a lot. You know, there's a World Cup summer as well, so that's in the back of the players' minds, but he can tell that's not really in his mind. He just wants to be... I remember when they asked him a couple of years ago, what's your aim for this season? And it's like, to stay on the pitch, because obviously he's been injured. I think this year he's aimed to just be a good captain, play as many minutes as he can, and just help the team as much as he can. I think, yeah. You know, when you win the Champions League so young, like he did, and won the Club World Cup, he's not, obviously he wants trophies, but he's not hungry to just to prove himself. He's already proven it to himself, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? It's like, obviously he wants the league, but it's like, when players have already won something, they've got this kind of like, this confidence about them. They haven't got this like nervousness. He's like, you know, I'm fine. You know, I've done well in my career. I can, not that his career's done in terms of, well, hopefully he wins a few leagues for Chelsea, but he's just got this like presence where it's like, an experienced player, I've been there, I've done it, relax. I've been in this spot a million times, managed the game out, where some of the other players are very frenetic. They're very like, oh, we've got to see it out, sort of thing. So, yeah, just really good on the mentality side. So, yeah, I thought he was good.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this when we appointed Reece James, as I could see captaining him. I know it wasn't agreed with at the time necessarily by everyone.
An amazing captain. I think if Silver spoke English, Silver would have been captain. I think they made him captain a bit early. And no, the reason I didn't like him being main captain was because he couldn't get on the pitch, and I thought it was a lot of pressure for him. And I just thought that it would be more of a priority for him to get back on the pitch and then become captain. But they've done it kind of the long way around, and it's worked out.
I think that's helped him. I think he's grown into that role almost because he's captain. I think they gave him that that responsibility, you know, to be there and to be present and to grow. I know he's done a lot of work with our, I can't remember the guy's name who's come in that used to be with New Zealand's rugby team. I think him and that guy have a really close friendship. That they've forged and has really helped him become a leader as well, and he sort of embraced that role as well. Chelsea have had seven games in 21 days since the international break, starting with Burnley on November 22nd, and Reece James has started all of them apart from Leeds.
Yeah, he looks combust. That's the best way I can say it. He looks combust. When he goes down, usually you know your heart's in your mouth, and he just gets up. Yeah, I mean, obviously, look, any player can get injured at any time, especially this overload. I mean, we saw Drewsby Hall, bless him. He pulled his hamstring or did something. I mean, and he's been literally like 90 minutes forever. And, you know, anyone can get injured at any time. But you have to say that, you know, it's looking more promising for Reece. He was my warming up. A little special question, because he's not my boiling hot. Rob Sanchez, again, 9 clean sheets this year. He's leading the Golden Glove. Again, people will notice it. I don't know if you saw it in the highlights. There's that one where I think it might have been O'Brien who put it across, and he got a little touch and he went through Barry's legs. What a bit of goalkeeping, by the way. Like, that Jack Grealish chance in the first half, he smothers him. Really, I mean, loads of high claims from corners. I mean, corners, he just comes out, he's so chill. He never punches it. He just comes out and catches it. So, yeah. I think any talk of a goalkeeper in January, I don't want to be hearing that. Actually, on X, if we get any Maignan stuff, I'm just going to be outwardly just going for fans if they're calling for Maignan, because they're idiots if they are. I mean, we've got a really good number one at the moment. Simple as that.
Yep, 100% agree with that. What have you got for boiling hot?
Boiling hot, I have got... It's funny life, isn't it? He's been wearing North Face for months of me. He's been chilling out. It's been a...
Oh, Mallow.
Yeah, it's... It's Mallow Goose, though.
Is it, are we getting an apology, actually?
No, no, definitely. There's two reasons we're not getting an apology, because every time we get an apology, it curses them. You apologise to Trev, and then he was awful, and he took it back, and now he's good again. I'm not doing an apology. And to be honest, you need more than this to get an apology. But I've got to say, in this game, it wasn't actually, and what I'm going to say, it wasn't actually his goal. I mean, his goal, we'll talk about the goal and the assist in a minute. But his overall performance, he was so much more robust. He basically did the job on Grealish, way more solid, making good positive decisions with the ball. Yeah, I mean, just much, much better. Much better. Just a little bit mentally, the handbrake off a little bit. I don't know, just maybe getting some more minutes. I don't know, but
I think he's improved, like, technically a lot with passing, like one-touch passing, short passing.
What? I mean, really good assist. I mean, Palmer eats that up. He said, Palmer said in the interview afterwards, in that right half space, that's Palmer's, like, bread and butter. That's what he wants. That's literally, you know, when Cole Palmer retires, that you show that goal, that's his goal. Like, just staying between the lines, getting the through ball in that right half space, bang, goal. But what a finish, by the way. Because I knew when Neto was breaking, I was actually looking. And sometimes what I do is when I'm watching the game, I know Neto's going to cross. So I'm going to see. I'm seeing who's in the box, and I was like, "Oh, it's Gusto." And I thought, "Oh, I've got no chance." It was at your end, wasn't it? And I thought, "He's got no chance here." What a finish, by the way. Like, I know Pickford didn't cover himself in glory, but with your weak foot on the move to put that in, not an easy chance at all. So yeah, I mean, two goals. I think he's got two or three. Have we got two or three assists? Maybe he might have some FPL assists. Not sure the actual real assists. But he obviously got a real assist yesterday. Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's just great that, you know, if at right back, if James can't play, he can. But he's becoming a bit more than that. He's very important to the team, and maybe he's just adjusting to that inverted role. But I mean, I'm not going to count my chickens yet, because he has some stinkers this season, and you know. But yeah, he does look better, I have to say. And obviously, yesterday was a very good day for him. So yeah, deserved. Yeah,
we talk triangles, the right hand side triangle. That triangle between Gusto, Palmer, and Neto yesterday was great. Yeah. And it's really dynamic. Fofana, much better than what the job Chalobah did at Leeds, sort of backing that up as well, playing just behind. Fofana, for that goal, played a really quick pass into Gusto, and then that was on to Palmer straight away. It's obviously something they worked on. I think you could clearly see that. Really excited to see what Gusto can be. And he's become a bit of like a feature in our big games, where he has to play just because of what they do with the structure of the team. And he's embraced it and played really well in those games. I know, just going back to like the Club World Cup final, where we saw the team before that game against PSG, and we're like, oh, why is Gusto playing? Now you don't get that at all. Now it's like, oh, a big game, like, Gusto will be there. Like, that's important.
It really, really helps Palmer when Gusto's in the team. That Real Madrid, not Real Madrid, sorry, Bayern Munich. Remember that Bayern Munich goal with Gusto? Yeah. He really, really helps Palmer. And it does mean that there's some other things in the team that are a bit worse. If you've got a player that's bringing out, you know, the best player, the best attributes of your best player, then that can only be a good thing as well, especially in some bigger games.
Let's talk about one moment with him, though. The 44th minute. He's 30 yards out.
Oh, yeah.
Neto's
free
on the right-hand side, ready for a pass. Have a little pop, Mallow.
I was screaming at him. I think some of the people around me thought I was being a bit negative yesterday, because I was just like, oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God.
I mean, that is so frustrating.
At least it was like right foot. Usually it's the left foot. Usually he tries left foot 30 yards out. I don't know what he's up to. Especially now he's got a goal. It's like, don't do that anymore. He's got two goals now. Don't need to.
Yeah, his work rate and stamina is absolutely invaluable to the team right now. And yeah, he was brilliant yesterday. Yeah. And yeah, I think he's just... I know Si Phillips' podcast as well. There's a guy that comes on whose name escapes me. Really good podcast to listen to. But he has always been a fan of Mallow Gusto midfield. I don't know anyone that's always been a fan of Mallow Gusto midfield. But he loves it. And yeah, he might have been early on the train, to be honest, because it does look really good at the moment. I just want to talk quickly about Cole Palmer, because we haven't really talked about him, and obviously the return of him was really important yesterday. He's not my boiling hot. I want to talk about another player, but I just want to talk about Palmer and how intelligent he is picking up spaces at 10. Like, the difference between Palmer and João Pedro at 10 is like night and day. It's like, you know, bottom of the Premier League versus top. Like, you know, there's no comparison with how these guys play 10. Palmer's so good in tight spaces, making space for himself, finding space. There was a time where Sanchez had the ball and he sprinted across to the left side to get some space as well, because he's got that maybe the tactical freedom to do that, but also the tactical intelligence to do that as well. He is. I know people talk about Caicedo being the best player. People talk about, you know, who our best player is or most important player, whatever, and Caicedo is that. But the actual most important player for us in terms of just being irreplaceable for us is Cole Palmer, because there's no actual player in world football that can play his role that he plays for us, where he's so good in the box, shooting, finishing, you know, clever assists, whatever it is, creativity in and around the box. But he also can drop deep, make space, play passes from deep, link the build up. You know, he does so much for the team. And yeah, we've missed it so, so badly. And like I said, obviously, second time watching him play at Stamford Bridge in 7 months is such a shame. We've missed him.
Yeah, I mean, it's King Cole returns. I mean, I've been saying on the WhatsApp group, obviously, since the Leeds game, and Leeds was a bit of a stinker, I think the Leeds defeat rocked everyone. But since then, you know, we've had a bad week. We've been talking about, you know, what's going to, you know, quote unquote, save the season or whatever. I think it really is dependent on Cole. If Cole is fit for a long time and ticks over a goal and assist, we have enough other players in the team that can support him now. There's a better supporting cast than there used to be, right? It's not just under Poch where it's just literally him, right? And, you know, with him and Jackson gone, a lot of the goals went out of the team. So if Cole can come back and be Cole, we've got a good chance of achieving really good things this year. If he suffers of injuries, he's out for a long time, we are really, really going to struggle. And that sounds obvious, but I think he is the, you know, the black or the white or whatever path you take on this season. If he's fit, we can really achieve it in the Champions League as well. But yeah, he's just amazing. I mean, even that game is like he's at like 60%, 70% gas. I mean, that finish is not easy. He'd been out for ages, and he just gives.
So calm, yeah.
Let's say Estevao got there. Estevao could snatch at that. Neto would snatch at it a bit, maybe. With Park Cole, it's just like, right, I've done this in training a million times. Give the keeper a little yard, bang, near post, done. Job done. it's bread and butter for him. And, you know, we have other good attackers, but he is just a lot better than our other attackers, right?
Yeah, like, he's a natural, Cole Palmer. He's just a natural.
And, like, the thing with Cole is, he absolutely loves playing for Chelsea. Chelsea basically made him, right? That's why he'll be at Chelsea for a long time, I think, unless, you know, we get money problems or we have to sell him or a huge offer comes in down the road. We made him, you know? Like, it was such a random move for him to come to Chelsea. And we made him a talisman. We made him a superstar, really. You know what I mean? Like, everything he's done in his career, really, in terms of, like, you know, obviously just some stuff at City, but he's become who he is. He's grown up with us, you know, and that's why he does those Instagram posts. Like, when he loves Chelsea, he means it. Like, he's won the Club World Cup. He's, you know,
I think he loves living in London as well now. I know he was a northern boy coming down, but I think he seems to have really embraced living in London as well.
And you've got a lot of young players, so, you know, they have that kind of, like, you know, young player vibe, and, you know, they will probably listen to like the same music. You know what I mean? They all like the kind of like the same interests, and they all get on, that kind of thing. That's what's good about young. He enjoys it. It's fun. Whereas Guardiola, it was probably a bit like the Guardiola prison of, like, you know what I mean? Guardiola's already telling Shirky not to do Rabonas and all that. Like, I don't think Cole Palmer and Pep would have mixed that well, to be honest. I mean, so, I think that's why he loves playing for Chelsea, because he's a fan favourite, and he would have really struggled to do that at City, way of the setup there. So, yeah, that's why he'll give that little bit extra. Like, he wants the club to do well, and he's like Hazard in that sense. He just loves the club, you know. So, yeah, that does help a lot. He don't feel like he's... What I'm trying to say is, like, I don't think he's like, oh, yeah, in the future, like, I'll... Maybe in his head, he's like, one day I won't mind playing for Real Madrid. But you can tell he's not like, oh, I'm going to move. He's like, oh, I'm a Chelsea player. Do you know what I mean? But some other players, I think they think about their career and that sort of thing. He's not like that. So, yeah, and when you've got the elite player who's settled, it's just the best thing you can have.
Yeah, locked up till June 2033, Cole Palmer. So, fantastic. Right, my boiling hot is Wesley Fofana. Key player for us. Absolutely brilliant yesterday. You know, bar Malo Gusto in player rating, so and Sanchez, I guess he's the top player. But I thought, you know, defensively, just absolutely outstanding in the game. 12 clearances, 3 blocks, 2 tackles, 9 headed clearances, 3 interceptions, 5 recoveries. You know,
a pear tree.
Sorry?
I said, and a partridge on a pear tree.
he's a do-it-all defender. I mean, he's really, I think I said on the podcast last week, he's really surprised me at his level. Because obviously we knew Fofana was a good player and we've missed him or whatever, but you don't really know what you're going to get when he's missed so much time and he's come back. But, I mean, unbelievable player. Absolutely unbelievable player.
20 defensive contributions in a game is monstrous, by the way. That's incredible.
And, I mean, and he's only 24 years old. People forget, though. Like, you know, obviously Fofana's been around for ages.
I think if Lavia was fit, I think you'd be saying this about Lavia, like, unbelievable player. Like, I know Fofana.
No, I don't think Lavia is anywhere near Fofana's level in terms of ability in his position. Okay. I think Lavia is like a good player, but I think Fofana is like best centre back in the world potential.
Yeah. What's the main thing you hold against Lavia, right? The main thing you hold against Lavia is his injury record, right? So it's like, I think it's like, you know, when he's good, he's good, but okay. The point I'm trying to make is, the only thing you can hold in like the check mark or the negative mark against Fofana is you know, you're just worried he's going to get injured again. There's nothing else, is there? There's nothing where you
there's
look at
him. There's also like stealing outcomes for Fofana if he stays fit for the next
you look
like,
at him going, oh, I wish he was a bit. I mean, obviously, no player's perfect, but you are looking at it and thinking, this is what I think. If Colwill gets fit, and if Colwill and Fofana stay fit for 5 years, we've got an elite centre back partnership. That's what I think. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying it's Gabriel Salih. I'm not saying it's like that. But it's a very good, maybe elite is wrong, but very, very good, very solid. Left foot, right foot, different, complement each other well, salt and pepper a little bit. Complement each other well. The only thing is injuries. Like, if they can stay fit and he can become what Reece James has become in terms of the injury record, or, you know, he gets more robust. As like I said, any player can get injured, obviously. But if you can avoid the long injuries, obviously players are going to be out for a month or 3 weeks. Every player, that happens to every player, obviously. But, like, just if you can avoid the 3-4 months out and avoid these injuries. Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, the most pivotal moment of this weekend was when I watched the presser, the one thing I was thinking, is Fofana going to be out of the eye issue? And once Maresca said that he was fit and ready to play, I felt so much better about this game. I would have been so nervous about this game if it was Bailey Shield Chalobah or Chalobah tossing. You know what I mean? I would have been like, oh, God. It's just like, this would have been, and that nervousness in the ground would have doubled, you know? He is so good for Fofana. And like, yeah, he's so aggressive. Just to finish, when we go to the Etihad, I hope he's fit. Or even to St. James on Saturday, you can leave him on the last man. You can leave him on a Haaland. You know, he's so aggressive. Like, he can play the lot. He can be trusted really to play man to man, which is what Maresca loves. So, yeah, 20 defensive contributions is a monster. And I mean, he did. I don't know. Did you see what he did to Enjoy? That was quite funny. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was. I love, you know. Some people don't like that kind of thing, but he's bit of spice, bit of like you know, getting in there is good.
No, he's got a lot of intensity, and yeah, that's great. I'm a big Wesley Fofana fan for sure. Yeah. All right, let's wrap things up there. We can't really do around the grounds because we've only had a few matches.
Arsenal looked a bit more shaky, I do have to say.
And obviously scraped a very lucky double own goal win.
Villa and then scraped past Wolves. I don't know, it's getting a bit shaky over there.
Yeah, then they've got a few injuries, Arsenal, but let's see. Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, Brady, for that.
No worries.
Give us a follow on X, if you can, Eat Sleep Chelsea, and we'll be firing up our YouTube live streams starting next week, I believe. So give us a follow on YouTube as well, Eat Sleep.
And just a little note, we're recording this on Sunday morning. We start at 9 a.m. So we'll put a bit more effort in just to get the pod out, after the game rather than like waiting a day. So yeah. But yeah, give us a like, give us a follow. Like Craig said, we're going to be doing the YouTube stuff and we're going to be progressing with the pod a bit.
Looking forward to it. All right. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening. Chelsea repeat, sleep, Chelsea repeat, sleep, Chelsea repeat.